Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
You know, David, if you do go to Congress, I'm pretty sure that your chair is going to be a lot more comfortable.
Wow.
Have you thought about how big a picture of me you're going to put on your wall? Have you had a chance to give that any thought at all?
There's no thought to that whatsoever.
I didn't. That's not going to be like a cornerstone of the campaign?
No.
We have other things we want to get into, but do you feel like just giving us an update on NY27? Is there anything to report?
You heard today that Senator Galvin is out of the race. This is something, you know, Senator Galvin, a popular senator, was a popular sheriff. I believe Senator Galvin has the best hair in politics, without a doubt.
And one of the worst voices.
But that hair is unflappable in any condition. Water, rain, snow, you name it, it doesn't. It's like Jimmy Johnson hair. It's perfect. But Pal Galvin's a good man, and he's a friend, and I have a deep respect for him. He doesn't want to go in this race. And, you know, this is he's always been a front runner in every election he's ever, you know, been interested in.
He was actually born with a golden horseshoe implanted in his nether region.
Well, he was a candidate in 2008 to replace Chris Lee. He was a candidate in 2011. He was a candidate in 2012. And he's a candidate today, but no longer. He doesn't want to be considered. And, you know, that it always goes until, again, you're going to hear a lot of other people getting out of this race before the Tuesday interviews as well.
So next week, are you expecting next Thursday or Friday an announcement is going to be made as to the candidates that the Republicans are going to stand behind?
You know what? It depends who you talk to. I'll tell you what you won't hear is the chairman aren't going to say anything. They've been tight-lipped about everything, and that's really the way the process should be. There's going to be more polls that come out, and there'll be more people that'll say, well, this poll means more, and that poll is garbage, And people will go back and forth on the polling. But
this is what I don't understand, David. Forgive the interruption, but if the party chairman are going to base their candidacy and who they are backing as candidate based on polls, you know, I'm sorry, but I think sufficient evidence now exists to put the validity of polls into some question, because it is always dependent on the sample, and it is always dependent on the sample size, and it's always dependent on the question you ask. And if the election of 2016 taught us anything, and it taught me anything, it is even the most allegedly scientifically valid poll can have flaws in it. We all remember the look of abject terror, surprise, and shock on the faces of the TV news anchors on election night.
Well, I don't think the chairman care about polls at all. I really don't.
So they're not going to use the polls?
They're not going to use the polls. The media is who uses the polls. That's why you've got people like Ratzenhofer, alleged front runner, Michael Ratzenhofer. You've heard Pat Galvin was a front runner. This is all coming from one poll that the media got a hold of, and they're basing that off those numbers. But look, the NRCC is polling. The state party is going to poll. Some of the candidates are probably going to throw some money into polling. But the chairman don't care about the polls. The chairman care about what their town chairman are saying to them. And the committee members are calling their town chairman and saying, hey, I want this guy. I don't want that guy. And these chairmen are listening to all their town chairs. And maybe the poll might affect a committee member, might affect a town chairman. But the names of who they like and who that they want to endorse, that has been really a secret so far, at least from the candidates.
Early on in this process, David, you were also called a front runner. Would you consider yourself to be a front runner today, or would you rather not comment?
What does that mean? I mean,
that means according to the poll, according to the data, according to what you know about what's going on the ground, do you consider yourself still a front runner? Because you got a lot of people, David. You got a lot. I mean, everywhere I go, I'm not exaggerating, David. You don't know me. I don't use hyperbole, nor do I use hyperbole. But, David, my freaking cell phone has been blown up ever since the Chris Collins story came out and your name started getting mentioned. Everywhere. I was at a pool party last night, and everybody was like, so, what's it like like to work with the next congressman. Hey, is David Bellavia going to get it? Hey, what's up with Bellavia? Hey, tell Bellavia he's got my support. Come on.
Look, I've got a place to go every hour of the day if I wanted to be there. People have been very kind. Of all the attempts that I've tried to, you know, when I showed interest before, this by far is the most support. And it's humbling, and I appreciate it, and it's great. But as far as, you know, dubbing yourself a front runner or saying that, you know, I got this, that I have no idea where it's going. I'm saying that I did not have any town, one town in Erie County showed interest in 2012. That was the town of Marilla. You know, but as far as today, I'm talking to folks all over Erie and Niagara, and we have much more wind in our sails than we had, you know, 6 years ago.
I don't know if you feel like getting into this, and I don't know the answer because you treat me as you would any other member of the media when it comes to our professional relationship. But are there any, is there anybody who is there any, I said professional relationship. Is there any party chairman that is not being cooperative? Is there any party chairman that you are looking at saying, dude, come on, where's your support? Where's your blessing?
No, because they don't, they don't, they're not talking to anyone. So, you know, you hear scuttlebutt from, you know, a chair here or a chair there, but, in the towns. But for the most part, look, Nick Langworthy holds a tremendous amount of weight in this race. He's 42% of the vote. He needs one other of the, you know, one of the other counties, and he could put this thing over the top. And look, I with six of the other counties that we that I carried in 2012, it didn't mean anything because Erie County and Niagara County went the same way. So that work is cut out. It's always going to be cut out. But he is under a tremendous amount of pressure because the Erie County candidates that, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces to this. And, you know, we forget the elephant in the room is there a path to get Chris Collins off the ballot? And if you start throwing bombs and start, you know, trying to get and mess up this entire system, you still have a guy who has been arrested, who's been indicted, you know. And I think what is going to be a huge disqualifier is that if any of these candidates were messing around with this, you know, this stock, this company out of Australia, if they're holding that stock or they've sold that stock or they have any connection to that stock, that is a DCCC commercial waiting to happen.
That's got to be an automatic disqualifier,
it
right?
It really does. And I fully anticipate on Tuesday that the chair people will ask that question. I think your allegiance to the president is a question that can be asked. You know, are you, do you support the president? Are you going to support his agenda? I don't see anyone in this field today as it currently stands that is anti-Trump that's going to necessarily go, I mean, it would be complete political suicide to go out there and say
in today's field
to say, you know, I'm against the president. That's not going to fly in a district that supports the president by 57%. And then, of course, the other side of it is, you know, are the rural counties going to help support your candidate model? The guy that you bring in from wherever you decide to nominate, you still need the heavy lifting from Orleans and Genesee and Wyoming and Livingston and Niagara counties, of course. Are they going to go out there? Are they going to put the signs up? Are they going to get out the vote? Are they going to help this candidate get over the top? If they, you know, if they're disgruntled and they shut down, I've been there. I've been there when counties just don't want to help. They can hurt you. They can hurt you dramatically.
Big difference 6 years can make, huh?
A big, big difference.
So what's going on this weekend in terms of the David Bellavia quest to become the nominee? Or the possibility, I'll put it that way, the possibility of David Bellavia becoming the nominee. Are there meetings? Are there gatherings? Are there parades? You have to go out and shake babies and kiss hands?
Yeah, I think the parades are a little bit over the top. If you're doing a parade at this state, hopefully you're doing it for your own election if you're an assembly or a senator, but if you're doing it for this seat, I think that's in pretty poor taste. If I wanted to, I could go to all of the eight counties all hours of the day and meet someone and get carried around and introduce myself. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter because those eight chairmen are what matter. You can campaign all you want, but if you've got a chairman who's on the fence and you're running around and trying to put pressure on that chairperson, it really doesn't help your case. It's one of those things where, you know, right now it's lining up the people that are going to be able to fund this thing for you. get a good committee of folks that know money, that are close to money, and start raising that money as soon as they make a selection.
David, how difficult is it? Because, you know, one of the things that has always turned me off about politics, and one of the many reasons why I don't think I would ever get into politics, is the money issue. And I don't want ever, I don't think public offices should be for sale to the highest bidder. And I don't believe that those in a position to write the big checks or to bundle the big checks ought to basically be able to buy themselves a congressman or a legislator for that matter. Can you put us in the picture, those of us who are naive outsiders, into what it's like in terms of trying to raise money and yet trying to make it clear that you are your own person, that you cannot be bought?
Well, look, there's, I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that want to make a deal with someone to lock this thing up right now. And I'm just, I don't do that. I'll never do that. I'm very comfortable in who I am and what I am. And if I'm going to have to sell my soul to become a representative of the 27th district, you know, I wasn't raised that way. I've got children of my own. They're always going to look up to their dad and see what kind of man I am. And that is what I want them to be. So that's a non-starter. I mean, if you've, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be sharing my stock tips. I'm not going to have a big bag of money that I'm going to be walking out of a smoky room with. But I can tell you this. I've heard a lot of people talk about how difficult it is to raise money. You know what's difficult? Difficult is, you know, having 35 guys trying to blow your head off in a firefight. That's difficult. This is not difficult. This is not, I mean, everyone wants to make the metaphor of the fight and the street fight and how politics is a fight. You don't know what a fight is. This, you don't, it doesn't have to be a fight. You articulate your message. You tell your story. You make eye contact with people who you are asking to trust you with a vote. You have to earn the vote. You don't just go in there and throw a resume on a table and say, I'm the guy.
Bowerly and Bellavia with you on the radio. David, in this whole process, has anything surprised you? Let me ask you that, because you've been through this before. You went through it in 2012 as a primary challenger of Chris Collins. And have you been caught, I don't want to say off guard, but has something made you do a mental or maybe even a verbal double take, like basically a WTF moment?
The last 72 hours have been pretty crazy. There's been you know, a lot of people that I think are on the tertiary of this thing that believe that they're kingmakers. And that has been a little eye opening. But, you know, what are you going to do? I believe that every one of these chair people have a candidate in their heads that they want. And the interview process will go a long way. But what would you have to say to eliminate yourself in an interview with chairman? I mean, you would have to be pretty radical with your ideology to get yourself eliminated that way.
David, I know that you don't like to dwell on this, but a lot of people have a profound amount of respect for you as a war hero and as an American veteran of combat, in particular your role in Fallujah as detailed in your book, House to House. Has that come up? Has that been a factor at all in the race?
It's always been a factor, and sometimes it's a positive, sometimes it's a negative. I know that I've heard many things connected to that and a lot of, I think, unnecessary stereotypes about veterans and anger issues and, you know, various other things. But people are going to do and think what they want. All I can do is present my case and be honest and look people in the eye and tell them the truth. And, you know, that's all I could do. I mean, I
don't want to sound like I'm blowing smoke, but I hope nobody's stereotyping you as a veteran, because you've got your head screwed on straighter than most people I've ever met in my life. You've got a great sense of balance, and I know a lot of that is based on your faith.
Well, listen, most veterans do. Most veterans do. The vast majority of people who serve this country, like law enforcement, are professionals. I mean, it's extremely insulting when people say, you know, well, you went to combat. That must be the worst thing in the world. And how did you deal with it? Well, we're trained the best in the world, and we're around other professionals that carry us through. We all have bad days. We all have bad moments. But the fact is, we're accountable. We have a compass. We know what wrong is. And when we do wrong, we correct it, we acknowledge it, we atone for it. That's you know, I don't know of any better citizen you can have in your life, in your neighborhood, than someone who served their country. And I just I want to remind people that this is service. It's not about you. If you're going there because you want to add to your wiki page, or you know, you want to sort of draft off this and try to get a book deal, or draft off this and make money, you know, I think we've elected enough of those people, and they've all burned us, every one of them. So maybe that candidate model stinks. Maybe someone needs to be from outside of that little pocket of folks living in Clarence.
Can you think of anybody who fits that bill? Because I can't. Well, his name is David.
There are a plethora of folks that fit that model. But, you know, again, I'm bringing something different. Senator Ort is a veteran as well, served honorably. He's a friend of mine. I really appreciate what he's done and what he does. And, you know, I'm sure everyone else is going to jump in, and there'll probably be four more names by Monday. Who knows?
Well, I was thinking about throwing my hat in the ring just to really give him something to talk about. Take all the heat. I can take all the fire. I can draw flack.
No baggage with Tom Bowerly.
No, not in the least. You kidding me? It's 4:26 at News Radio 930 WBEN. As I like to say, I have so many skeletons in my closet, they often party late into the night, and I can hear them clattering about. Yeah, why not? Little Flipside, local band. I've been known to play with them, like on the Monkees medley here. Yeah.
I want to know what you sound like when you sing.
Oh, you're going to have to wait a little while for that one.
Yeah?
But that's Flipside. Actually, they're going to be playing over at the Marriott starting at 6 o'clock as part of the Marriott's Food Truck Friday.
Right here in Amherst?
Right here, right around the corner.
And so you're going from here to there?
From here to there, yes.
At
I actually
7
have,
o'clock?
Allegedly. I have my Telecaster all set to go.
Well, you know, the other thing is they just paved that road, so you won't lose your undercarriage. Nice and smooth transition.
Well, no, it was fun. Well, we had, as you know, we had the Italian food and clam bake with the guys on Sunday, including a classic cornhole victory. And, David, I think I finally have found a sport other than hockey that I actually have some innate ability at performing, and that is the sport of cornholing. We had a pool party last night. And I was teamed up with this little boy named Sean, who is the grandson of a very dear friend, Winnie. And we were an unbeatable team. This kid is good. This kid got, like, I would say for every four bags he shot at the cornhole board, I'd say that 50% of them, they didn't just go in the hole.
Right.
They just, like, shoo, like so, nothing but net, basically.
So cornhole is an amalgam of horseshoes and shuffleboard, basically.
And beanbag toss.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a beanbag, and you're throwing it, and it's like a little bit of a raised... A
little bit of an angle, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I tell you, it is an absolute riot. And in case you're just joining us, don't even think about sending the text like, I can't believe you're talking like that. It is a game and nothing but a game. You certainly don't think I talk about playing it with a little boy if it was anything else but a game, do you? Because if you do, that's pretty sick stuff. But it is, I got to tell you, it is an absolute riot and a half. And unlike horseshoes, nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets hurt whatsoever, but it's a great deal of fun. And I will tell you that, David, I'm actually believing that cornhole ought to be, if it isn't already, an Olympic sport. It's the one chance I would ever have in this life to win a gold medal. And I was also thinking last night, there are probably men and women who practice cornhole like 8 hours a day, and they can probably do it blindfolded. So that kind of takes some of the luster off of the achievement of last night's successive victories. But, man, it's just a fun game to play. What can I say?
I think, you know, I used to goof on curling all the time.
Oh, until you try it.
Well, at the Harbor Center.
And yes.
Everyone's curling. Those, you look at it and you think, well, you know, Babe Ruth played baseball, not exactly a physical specimen. But there's so much technique and strategy that's involved in, you know, those rocks and hitting them and the sweeping and the viscosity of the ice and all that other stuff. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, and it's the same thing with cornhole, too, because there is actually, I did not know this, but there are actually regulation cornhole boards, and not every set that you buy as a cornhole set actually is a regulation cornhole set. It has to be at a specific angle. There should be a specific grain of wood that is used. I don't know exactly what it is, but if you get a really slippery cornhole board, it can really throw your whole game off. And you actually get points for just being on the board. So it's so fun. It really, and it's also kind of like bowling and slow pitch and fast pitch softball, because you throw it underhanded when you're throwing the beanbags.
If you go to ACO, the American Cornhole Organization.
Yes.
You will find that there are $68,000 to win the ACO championship.
That ain't bad.
That's not bad at all. And
that little kid Sean, he's got a really good shot at it. He's a natural.
There's tournaments all over the United States, and there's regionals, and the next one is coming up here in a couple of weeks, actually. So you have time to get ready for the ACO Invitational, the ACO Qualifier, the ACO State Championship, the ACO World Championship of Cornhole.
Well, just count me in. That's all I can say. I got to practice more, but it is just so much fun. It really is. Now, you know what isn't fun, David? What isn't fun is having a food that you really, really like, but you have one bad experience with it and you haven't touched it since, or you've never viewed it in quite the same way since. And we don't want you to name restaurants. We really, seriously, no restaurants, no brands. You got to be cooperative with this, okay? But we want to find out if you were absolutely, totally into a food, you got a bad dose of it, or something happened with it. And it doesn't even have to be like food poisoning. Let me give you one example. I've told this story many years ago on the air. But my brother Dick used to love Campbell's chicken noodle soup. This kid, I'm telling you, when he was a little boy, Campbell's condensed chicken noodle soup was what my brother had for lunch. And one day before I was born, a very unfortunate thing happened, David. He had a steaming hot bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup on the kitchen table. Something happened and the soup ended up literally pouring into his lap. It had nothing to do with the flavor. It had nothing to do with the taste. But forever, that changed my brother's view of Campbell's. He will not touch chicken noodle soup to this day as a result. And if you do have a food that you like and it made you sick, but you can actually go back to the food and enjoy it, all I can say is props to you. Props to you. Now, I had a bad order of clams the other night. I'm not going to name the restaurant, because it wouldn't be fair, and they're totally cool, and they're making up for it, and it's all good. And frankly, it's a place where I've gotten some great clams this summer, as I've been on a frenzy to eat every shellfish in the continental United States and Canada. You know, it's like, oh, there's a clam. Let me eat it. I will not be happy until every clam in the world is in my belly. But despite having one bad experience, and I didn't get sick off of it because, frankly, I didn't eat enough to get sick, even though it doesn't take much sometimes. But I will definitely go back into clam paradise and enjoy my clams. Can't get enough of those, as I think everybody knows. But if you've had a bad experience with food and you've never been able to view it in quite the same way, and it could be something stupid like, hey, I opened up a box of pizza and there was a Band-Aid on one of the slices of pizza. You might never eat pizza again. It's just weird how it works. Now, David, you're not a sushi guy, are you? Or are you?
No, I'm a sushi guy, and I've had some bad sushi. And I'll tell you what, that'll make you question your entire position in the world. Like, why am I here? There is nothing like having a... Seafood is that double-edged sword. It could be the greatest thing in the world, or it could literally make you question your existence.
Well, see, here's the thing, David. If you asked me about seafood, I would tell you I don't like seafood. Yet, the stuff that I do like happens to be some of the most seafoody tasting stuff in the world, i.e. clams and cocktail shrimp. Jumbo cocktail shrimp served almost ice cold with a spicy cocktail sauce. You give me some of that and I'm a very happy camper. But I got to be really careful because the missus is allergic, highly allergic to shrimp. So if I get shrimp cocktail, I literally, upon completion of the shrimp cocktail, I have to go to the men's room, wash my hands thoroughly, wash my face thoroughly, and rinse out my mouth thoroughly so that she doesn't get anaphylaxis. Seriously.
Well, you know, amateur deer hunters will take their deer and they'll go to a processing center, right? And you think, depending on where you go, but oftentimes you're led to believe that the deer that you harvested is the meat that you get. But oftentimes it's a weight thing and they just give you whatever and you're like, wait a second, this, you know.
So
you
I didn't really kill this.
You don't know what you're getting sometimes if you go to an unreliable, unprofessional place. I went to a seafood place once when I went to school out in New Hampshire. And there was like this little boat in Massachusetts, and you went out and you threw like nets out, and whatever you caught, they allegedly made for you, which was complete garbage because you didn't catch a lobster or you know any of the other things they threw in the. But there was a time when I went to this place and I had the long clams, the deep fried long neck.
Not the geoducks.
Oh yeah, everything. The whole sack of it was horrible.
And okay, I think was it gooey ducks or geoducks? Gooey ducks.
It's disgusting.
Okey, gooey ducks. If you don't know what a gooey duck clam looks like, go online right now. Try to contain your laughter. It's spelled G-E-O-D-U-C. You look that up, and you're never going to view clams in quite the same way.
I had a plate, a bushel, whatever they were, of these long, you know, the whole science of the clam on the plate, deep fried. I haven't felt that sick since the Thunderbirds asked me to get in their plane. and it was a horrible experience. I mean, it was, you know, everything you could imagine. And you recover from that, and then you're like, I really enjoyed this, but now I don't want to go back to it because the automatic thought of a deep fried long neck whatever is brings me right back to that wow. sickness. And you know, someone just wrote that they had smart food, you know, that popcorn, you know, they got sick on pop. They don't ever want to go back to it.
They see
someone eating it, and they automatically associate that with their sickness.
And the thing about popcorn is you can't just eat popcorn by yourself because the aroma, whether it's right. microwave popcorn, which we can't do here because we have a staff member who is deathly allergic to microwave popcorn.
But do you remember when the whole Chipotle thing happened?
Which week?
Exactly. They had some bad media going around. But once you know that someone got sick on a food that you're eating, that enters your head as you're eating it. And I think some of it could be psychosomatic where you're like, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
This guy got sick. Do I really want to go to Chipotle? Do I have enough time to... Do I have to call in sick before I order my meal? Like, what do I do?
This might not be fair, but and I apologize to the people at Chipotle for saying this. I know it's not fair, but because of all the bad press, I will never, ever eat at a Chipotle. And I'm really, really sorry. You're probably a fine restaurant with fine health practices and all that stuff. But because of all the publicity about the many places that did have problems, I'm not going to eat there.
If you look at the paper, when the health department went in and shut down the bad Chipotles, there were some really crazy things going on there. They found a seagull in the kitchen. All right. Now, I don't know where this place was, but there's no reason why a seagull has to be in the kitchen. When the manager was confronted with it, he said, oh, he's back. And so, like, this seagull has found a way into this kitchen in Chipotle and... you know, and the other thing
they're flying rats.
Well, again, though, they found like just that was a really unfortunate, very public. But listen, organic farms, right?
Oh,
everyone wants organic farms. They think they're great, organic. Let's grow beards and wear skinny jeans.
Charge more.
But also what you find with organic farms is they are organic because they don't go through the same process and regulations and checks that other farms have to go through. And a lot of times you'll hear like, hey, there's some grape tomatoes out there. Got a little bit of stuff on it, you know. You don't want to get that E. coli. That's
yeah, it's never, always feces.
It's always E. coli.
Yeah, and it's always fecal.
It's horrible.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just disgusting. All right. So, have you had a bad experience with food and it's totally turned you off to that food, or maybe you had a bad experience and you were actually able to look past it? I've had bad chicken wings that gave me food poisoning once. I don't eat that many wings, but when I do enjoy them. I didn't let that bother me, and I'm not going to let my bad experience the other night with clams, from which I did not get sick. They're certainly not going to interfere with my quest to devour every clam I possibly can. And just to save the texts, when I talk about clams, I'm talking about legitimate seafood, as in steamers, long neck, you know. So, I mean, we get people out there who make these assumptions about me, and it's not fair. And sometimes it's kind of annoying when you really legitimately are talking about seafood. So you had a bad experience with a food, and you haven't gone back to that food since. Could be a food you've enjoyed since you're a kid, but one bad experience, it's amazing what it can do to you. And it might not even be something like food poisoning. It could be something just as simple as spilling a bowl of hot soup onto your lap, which forever poisoned my brother against, I think, pretty much all soups. Here is Dave in Pennsylvania. Dave, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon. Yeah, in 95, I took a week vacation to Jersey, and ultimately she became my wife. But anyway, she took me to a nice clam restaurant and everything, and I had too much Jack Daniels and too many steamed clams. And oh boy, for the next 3 days, I was bedridden. What a vacation, huh? And ever since that, I can't have a clam casino, nothing.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Hey, well, what role do you think the whiskey played in it? Wasn't it more likely too much Jack and not enough food?
I think too much Jack. I had about half of a quart.
Oh, my. See, I enjoy Southern Comfort on the rocks, a little SoCo on the rocks, and then my clams.
But I've been told after that you can't drink whiskey in that when you eat clams in that, and I believe that's true.
But is that really true, or is that one of those urban legends or old wives' tales? Phil, I think we need some research. Phil is going to do some research for us on WBEN.
That'll be good, because I still today can't eat a steamed clam or raw clam. And I miss
or even Clams Casino, which is basically bacon in a shell.
I know it. And my wife, cause she could eat 2-3 dozen at a time, and I sit there and I'm just salivating that, oh, boy, I wish I could just have one.
Oh, bro. I did not appreciate the joy of the bivalve until this summer, and for whatever reason, I've gone into a clam frenzy. I actually know what the reason is. It's one of the few things I can eat and actually enjoy and not feel guilty about it.
That's good. Well, you take care, my friend, and Bella V, I hope you go all the way.
Thank you, sir. Very kind. Appreciate it.
And he's talking about Congress, so save the text. Yes, it is coming up on 5:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly and Bellavia, we're going to continue this coming up after the news at 5. What did you used to like to eat, but you had one bad experience, and it has forever tainted your view of that particular food? And yes, we're talking about food. No, we don't want the names of restaurants, and no, we don't want anybody calling in with stuff that isn't real, actual, digestible food. Have I made that clear? Have I made myself clear? Because how can you have any pudding if you won't eat your meat? All right, it is, sorry, every now and again I've been known to go into Pink Floyd things. It's really bizarre.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.